The Martin Scorsese of street rap. That's how Pusha T sees himself these days. And the Virginia Beach artist, government name Terrence LeVar Thornton, has grounds to do so. He rose through the ranks of hip-hop in the 90s and 2000s in the group Clips with his brother, currently known as No Malice. Then in 2010, Pusha T broke out as a solo artist and signed the Kanye West Good Music label. Now this year, his newest album, It's Almost Dry, reached number one on the Billboard 200 chart. Made a way for ourselves, we ain't need no wishes. It's levels, it's layers, so pray for the players. We hollowed the walls and back up bodegas. I got plenty, it's so many, yeah. Talk about that record and how it fits into the context of his decades-long career. Pusha T joins us from tour. Pusha, welcome to the program.
What's up? What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm really glad to be talking to you. I want to start off with that Martin Scorsese comparison. Martin Scorsese's known for making gangster movies, and you're known for rapping about selling cocaine. Called yourself cocaine's Dr. Seuss. Like, what's that parallel you're drawing there?
Well, basically, you know, of course, there are times in Scorsese's discography where he ventures off from gangster films. But for the majority, Scorsese makes a very particular type of movie that culturally, we all have gravitated towards. And he does it very well. It's iconic. And I look at my rhymes and my content and my music and my discography the same way. I do something very specific and I do it very, very well.
I mean, obviously, the wordplay that you are known for, and that's like what I love about hip hop and rap, even though, like, I mean, I grew up in Durham, North Carolina, so I didn't grow up in, like, I don't know anything about the streets.
Oh, but let me tell you something. Durham got hood. Don't play. Don't you dare. Hold on. You told me you're from Durham? Do you know, like, my friends would go down to, bruh. No. We're not going to do this.
Durham is the hood. Like, yes. I had other family from other parts of North Carolina who would be like, we don't go to Durham. It's dangerous.
Yeah, I know.
But I did not live that lifestyle. I wasn't a part of that.
Okay.
But obviously, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to Jay-Z. I'm listening to others.
Yeah.
And I love the wordplay. I love, like, I'm not doing any of this, but, if they rapping about Coke Boys or whatever, like, I'm feeling the wordplay. I'm feeling the energy of it.
Right. I think a lot of it is energy and aspiration.
Yes.
Yo, rap, this is a whole lifestyle. This is a whole culture. This is like, rap teaches you how to live and aspire and, man, teaches you how to dress sometimes.
Yes.
There's so many other different avenues and so many other different things that you can take away from an album like It's Almost Dry. And yeah. I would say aspiration is one.
And so turning to It's Almost Dry, where does that name come from?
Oh man, It's Almost Dry is it speaks to, you know, art and just like creating a masterpiece. And everyone's always waiting on that masterpiece, and you always have to tell them that it's almost dry, it's almost ready. Imagine every player's aiming coach right. Master recipes under stove lights. The number on his jersey is the quote price.
You order Diet Coke, that's a joke, right? With this album, half of it is produced by Pharrell, who you've been making music with since the very beginning of your career, very famously. Mm-hmm. The other half is produced by Kanye West. We know him, who was a huge part of, obviously, you as a solo artist. Like, how does working with both of them differ?
I would say that me and Kanye connect very deeply on just like a very purist, obscure, hard samples, hard drums, very minimal. He likes to treat my voice like an instrument. He loves like mixtape Pusha T. He loves that. So he makes records that lean heavy in that vein. Tomorrow never comes until it's too late. Just so you remember
who you dealing with. The number don't change, I know who the chemist is. Brick by brick, we kept open dealerships. Mitch by Mitch, we built up our villages.
Pharrell is always trying to turn me into a character. He definitely is big on composition and song, the actual songwriting, cadence, flows, melodies, always trying to turn even the darkest or hardest of records into some level of hit, you know? And that's the difference between those two to me. First in the beach with a $1 million auto. Bring the cameraman, we can shoot our own knuckles. 812 matte black looking like charcoal. I promise you the floor plan's nothing like the model.
I mean, I want to ask you about the song called My Bluff. I know you were talking about getting into character. You were watching Joaquin Phoenix's Joker movie a lot, working on that song, getting into the character. Tell me about that process.
Yeah, you know, Pharrell just thinks that me becoming a character is the next level to my career. Mm. He feels like I've been a quintessential rapper for the whole time, but yet, you know, I haven't really tapped into like a character. And so we would watch the Joker and he'd be like, man, this is who you are. He was like, you laugh at things you're not even supposed to be laughing at. He was like, this is like you. And I'm like, damn, bro, this is what you think about your man? So we started actually like watching the movie, right? Mm-hmm. And then it turned into us watching the movie on silent, and he would make music to the energy of just the TV.
Oh, okay.
It tells you the energy that you're supposed to be in. You know, that's how we continue to create his portion of the album. Calling my bluff, go answer hello. Service with a smile when I hand out halos. Shot clock shooters when I point them, they go.
Now everybody asking what happened, they know. I wanted to ask you, because obviously you have longevity, right, in hip-hop. Like, what do you think longevity looks like for hip-hop artists right now? Because there was a long time where rappers really didn't have that long span of being popular. And they would kind of get older and be like, okay, you're not hot anymore. And you would they right. were kind of pushed aside. But now
right.
it's different, right? Like, everybody was like, who's going to be like the Rolling Stones for hip-hop?
Right.
So how do you feel about that?
Well, that's my goal. Like, my goal is to see how far I can really take this competitively. I don't want to just exist in rap or just make records that aren't considered, you know, classics or things like that. Like, it's funny you mentioned the Rolling Stones as a group, but in talking about this, Rolling Stone just made a top 200 list of hip hop albums of all time. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was on that list 3 times.
Okay.
You know, I want to keep making albums that will end up on all of these lists. If I stop making albums that don't garner that type of fanfare or attention, then I don't want to make music anymore.
And that is Pusha T with his number one album on the Billboard 200 chart. It's Almost Dry. Thanks to him for joining us.
Rap album of the year. Rap album of the year.
He said it.
New toys.
New toys.
Boys. 100 carats on my neck, my boy. That 100.